Thank you, Ashley. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm going to talk to you today about, there's all kinds of cords under here. I'm going to talk to you today about measuring the impact of a community-based data capacity building effort in California. I'm going to talk specifically about the Data and Democracy Statewide Training Initiative. I also have no financial interest to disclose, and I'd like to acknowledge our donor. Data and Democracy was and continues to be funded by the California Endowment, and also my co-authors and Data and Democracy staff members, some of whom are here today. I'm going to give a little background on Data and Democracy. However, I've presented for the last few APHAs on this model. I'd be happy to talk to you further after the presentation and the panel. I'm going to focus a little bit more today on evaluating this type of capacity building effort, which has turned to be quite challenging and is something that is really a gap that we've found in the literature. So I'll focus a little bit on methods, but mostly on measures, and talk to you about the results and, of course, conclusions and implications. The Data and Democracy Project comes through the Health Data Program, which stands for Data Advocacy and Technical Assistance. It's the public service program of the UCLA Center for Health Policy Research, which is the home of the California Health Interview Survey. Our vision is turning knowledge into action, and our goal is to build the capacity of advocates, organizations, and coalitions to use health data to address the health policy issues important to the communities that they serve. The purpose of Data and Democracy is to build the capacity of California community-based organizations, or CBOs, to collect and apply data to local public health planning and advocacy through the community assessment process. Three phases have been funded between 2003 and 2009. I'll focus on the second phase, which was between 2005 and 2007, and phase three is actually out in communities now. It's guided by a very engaged community advisory board. We utilize a train-the-trainer model, which is based on adult learning and diffusion of innovation theories. And it has a concurrent, at phase two, had a concurrent Spanish Datos y Democracia project, which looks a little different in phase three, but Angie, my colleague Angie, will be talking about the phase two in a minute. Our long-term goal, and this is really the measurement issue that I'll be talking about today, is to establish a cadre of trained community leaders in each project region who are engaged in and use research and data to advance their own program and policy goals. Briefly, the project components, it consists of a free 3-day train-the-trainer certificate course. We focus on two types of capacities, how to plan and conduct a community needs assessment, and I'll show you the basics of that curriculum in a second, and also how to train others from the same material using interactive adult learning and popular education methods. The community workshops are then implemented by our course participants, who I will be calling trainers, and they go on to teach others how to plan and conduct a community assessment, and those workshop participants I'm going to call end users. We then provided convenings, which were networking meetings of the trainers, the end users, of researchers and funders and policymakers that were in each region and also statewide. They were conducted at the end of the training cycle in each region, and they were used to foster continued discussion, mutual learning, and collaboration between the trainers and the rest of the folks. We also provided at these convening skill clinics to further develop community assessment or data training skills and training skills. And an example would be how to write survey questions. So the participants in Data and Democracy were found through community-based recruitment efforts, which use multiple strategies. The course participants or trainers were selected through an application process where they had to fulfill certain criteria such that they were staff or volunteers of nonprofit or community-based organizations, and that their organizations were serving underserved communities throughout California. So we really wanted to get this out into communities and staff of those community-based organizations who didn't often have access to this type of capacity-building effort. And the folks that we had tended to be executive directors, outreach or program coordinators, and data or evaluation staff, and grant writers as well. The end users or the participants of their workshops included the trainer staff or volunteers, collaborative partners, and community members and leaders. The project regions for this phase included the Bay Area, San Francisco, and Oakland. I circled San Joaquin there, but that was supposed to be Sacramento. The Fresno Central Valley area, Orange County, and San Diego. The performing a community assessment, which drove the community assessment aspect of the capacity building, was built around six steps. And it really starts from building partnership and determining your focus, figuring out the kind of data that you would need to collect to know what you want to know about your community before then collecting it, analyzing it, and strategically communicating and using your results for your own advocacy and program planning. There are lots of other course materials and resources like extensive appendices and online resources. We also have a companion curriculum, which is the Trainer's Guide and Toolkit. And all curricula and course materials are available for free download in English and in Spanish on our website, which I'll also flash again at the end. And we did comprehensive trainer support. Our evaluation methods were multi-method, as you can see. Quantitative and qualitative methods. At each level of participant, the trainer, the end user, the convening participant, we really wanted to capture from multiple angles what was going on, what was the story of how we implemented this project, but also in terms of how it was used and received by our audience. And our outcome measures were to accomplish both short-term and long-term goals. To determine if we were fulfilling the program appropriately within our audiences, and also how was our audience using this capacity building effort in their ongoing work in their own communities. I'm going to focus today on more of the longer term goals, and I will speak specifically more toward the measures of readiness, capacity, and intentions. We heard a lot about readiness from Sheila, and we'll be talking a little bit more. It's very closely linked to community readiness, but more specifically, trainer readiness. We assessed it by the following measures. We attempted to create a readiness profile. We wanted to find, to demonstrate whether or not there was a need for data capacity building. And we looked at demand for the course, prior level of experience with these types of topics and research and data using health data in their ongoing work. We looked at baseline self-efficacy in the core skills, which again were around data and community assessment and training. We wanted to see if there was a belief that data and community assessment skills are important for their community work in community health planning or advocacy. We wanted to see if they had expectations that the project components would increase their capacity or would benefit their organization. Self-efficacy among trainers we measured as pre-post changes in their belief of confidence, self-rated confidence or self-efficacy in the 19 core skills, which again were around data and community assessment and training. We also assessed self-efficacy in end users, but because we had a quicker snapshot of them, it was just a post-workshop set of items that we asked about their confidence in specifically not training, but just the data community assessment skills. We also measured intentions, and they were defined as plans to apply this new knowledge and skills from the course or the workshop into their ongoing community work. And so this was collected among both trainers and end users, and we asked them with several post-course or workshop items the degree of likelihood that they would use this material, these knowledge, these skills, and these materials, because we did give them workbooks and curricula that they could take home with them that were very user-friendly, and the likelihood that they would be used in their own community work in the future. Also, with the trainers, we asked them more follow-up to state three goals that they had following the course and then asked them over time in our follow-up data collection how they were doing on those goals and whether or not they had changed. So to report first on the readiness results, we did find a need for data capacity building. This is actually one of the big drivers of our continued efforts in this Data and Democracy Initiative. We found and concluded that course recruitment efforts successfully reached out to community representatives who were in need of this capacity building opportunity. There was a very high demand for this course and is the reason that we've had multiple stages. Course waiting lists for a 30-person course ranged from 11 to 68 individuals. Applicants reported low to moderate levels of prior experience with collecting and analyzing health data, mixed experience with assessments. So they had some experience but weren't overly experienced, were certainly looking for more experience. There was a low baseline self-efficacy on core skills, ranging from 2.3 to 3.4 out of 5. And trainers entered the course feeling least confident about the advanced data skills that were taught in the course. So this issue of data literacy was something that they were most ready for. We did find that the trainers believed that data capacity and community assessment skills are important to their work. The vast majority found the course topics to be very important, ranging from 4.06 to 4.6 out of 5. So they were very clearly believed that this would be important to their ongoing community work. And the top topics that they were most interested in are the core skills that we're teaching in the course. They also had expectations of benefits of data capacity building to themselves and to their ongoing work. They believe that it would increase their capacity and their organization's capacity to use community health data for decision making. And again, the top most frequently benefits to themselves and to their organizations are the core skills taught in the course. Looking at self-efficacy, we found that the average confidence rating ranged from 3.8 to 4.4 out of 5 for trainers, and there was positive increases in self-efficacy in actually all 19 of our core skills from pre and post, ranging from an increase of 0.75 to 1.85 on a 6-point scale. The largest magnitude pre-post increases were the core data literacy skills that were taught in our course, as well as how to present that information, tailor that information, and teach it to your own community audience. End users also reported high levels of self-efficacy in these skills, ranging from 3.75 to 4.25 out of 5, which we felt was a continuation of the quality of this capacity building throughout the different levels of participants in the project. A single item also asking them was the convening participants, was the convening useful in increasing your community assessment knowledge and skills? And this was just a one-day convening. The vast majority strongly agreed as well. And then among intentions, all levels of participants have reported high levels of intentions to use content and materials from the course, from the workshop, from the convening in their ongoing community work. Trainers reported high level of progress on these post-course goals that I mentioned, including the immediate goal that they had, which was increasing the knowledge and skills of others. Also using the workshop to starting a planning process within their organization to start a community mobilization process or a community assessment process. And we did find that trainers with higher levels of pre-course readiness were more likely to have completed the course requirements and become graduates of data and democracy and to have made progress on post-course goals at the follow-up points. So in conclusion, applicants self-selected into the course. Since they applied, they did self-select into the course. And so we were not surprised to find out that there were high levels of documented readiness for this information, this capacity building effort that we were going to be conveying to them. But we also found that trainers with higher readiness profiles, so the range within trainers within the course, were more successful in completing the course, as I mentioned. And so clearly readiness is an important part of understanding the impact and the implementation of a capacity building process in a community level model such as this. We also found, and this has been reported last year and Angie will talk about as well, that the train the trainer model successfully and positively impacted the data capacity of both trainers and the end users, and that that both trainers and end users reported intentions to use these new and enhanced knowledge and skills in their community health program planning and advocacy work. Implications for those of you who are implementing or also struggling with evaluating these types of data capacity building programs. Capacity building around accessing, collecting, and using health data are needed and are sought and are vastly unavailable to community advocates. We found that limited data literacy is a big barrier for community leaders in research. We found that math is in and of itself a huge barrier for participation in community-based participatory research and program evaluation efforts, leading to, you know, a differential in power between evaluators and researchers and community members. And that, as I mentioned, very few capacity-building efforts are addressing this need. We really spend our time demystifying the research process and demystifying the terminology of evaluation and research that they are exposed to but often are not a part of. We also found, as I mentioned, trainers with greater readiness for data skills and also organizational support to participate in this effort were better able to engage and successfully leverage the course experience into their own organization, their own community work. There is a very big gap in the research literature regarding the data capacity of CBOs and their staff. So this readiness profile drew from other fields and is our attempt to measure data capacity in a way that hasn't been fully developed or explored in multiple contexts. And evaluating end-user experience was difficult, although obviously necessary in the train-the-trainer model. It was difficult and time-consuming of staff hours, but it was really essential for understanding the successes and challenges of this type of train-the-trainer model. So that is it. I have our website up here where you can navigate to Data and Democracy, find our online curriculum in English and in Spanish, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Amy. And now we're going to hear from Angie Ottignano.